I'm finishing up a series, and Jesus answered. This is part four. Out of Luke chapter 4. It says, then Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit, and Carrie, I'm going to jump around. So try to flow with me, okay? Then Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. If Jesus had to be filled with the Holy Spirit before he started his ministry, and John the Baptist was filled at birth in order to start his ministry, and the disciples, 120 of them, stayed to be filled in Jerusalem with the Holy Spirit. We all need to. Not only just be filled, to be continued to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is very vital in these last days. And people want to just kind of push that aside. As soon as we get to the place where we act like we don't need him, we're in trouble. We need him every single day. It just becomes a powerless act that we're putting on with little results to show for. There's a paradigm shift that is coming, and in some cases has already started. But the shift can't happen without the Holy Spirit leading this way. God will not ever lead you away from his word, ever. He will not deviate from his word. So Peter in the book of Acts gives up a powerful word. This is after them being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, the same Peter that denied Jesus three times or what have you. He gets up and says, your sons and daughters, he's speaking from the prophet of Joel. He says, in the last days, God will pour out his spirit on all flesh. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my maidservants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven and above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. People, if there is ever going to be a paradigm shift, it won't happen without the Holy Spirit leading the way. How many of y'all ever driven stick shift? How many of you still drive on? Well, bless your heart. I remember my wife had one, her first car. Well, I wouldn't say her first car, but when we were dating, she had one she was trying to teach me, and my goodness. You got one hand on the steering wheel, one hand on the shift, and then you got to use your clutch. And you know, being automatic, it's like you don't use your left foot. You got to use your clutch. And there's a certain way that I have to use my clutch because my knee would lock up on me when I'm trying to do it. And so I'm just like, my goodness. And you know, you got four gears there, shift gears. Some may have five, and then, of course, reverse. Now, let me ask you a question. What would happen if you were to shift from first to second without the clutch? Some of y'all can hear that right now. It's almost like it's worse than nails on a chalkboard. Right? If you ever are successful in getting there, you're going to hear something else. That's not looking in your rearview mirror. That's your transmission. Right? Because you're trying to go from first to second, and you're trying to go from second to third or what have you without the clutch. People, if there's ever going to be a paradigm shift, you can't do it with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the clutch. You got to let off that clutch and let off the gas and push the clutch. That's how you do it, right? Yeah. And then go back on the gas. See, that's why I was jerking all the time. You do it the wrong way, you're going to, trouble, transmission. If there's ever going to be a paradigm shift, you have to do it with the Holy Spirit. If God is leading you in a certain way, it's going to be with his Spirit. It's not going to be with anything else. It's not going to be with the flashing of the lights and stuff. It's going to be what Peter had talked about. Your children will prophesy. These young men will have visions. The old men will dream dreams. Things like that. Your men and maidservants, they will prophesy as well. It will be a powerful move of God like never before. It ain't going to happen without them. And sometimes people want to get away with that. No. Let's get back in. Luke 4, 2. It says this. Being tempted for 40 days by the devil, and in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. Now, the number 40 is connected to the trial and preparation for God's people to go through. Moses went through it in the book of Exodus in 24:18. It says this. You have that one? Exodus 24:18. So he was there with the Lord. Wait, hold on. So Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain. And Moses was on a mountain 40 days and 40 nights. And then Exodus 34:28 says, so he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And then in Deuteronomy 8. Did I give you that one? Okay, never mind. But how long was the Israelites in the wilderness for? 40 years, see? It's a time of trial and preparation. And when Elijah ran from Jezebel in 1 Kings 19:18, I didn't give you that one, says that the angel of the Lord came to Elijah and fed him with some cake and water. That was your first time you ever seen angel food cake. He had to combat against the devil. God gave Elijah some angel food cake right there. And on that, on what he was fed, he went up to Horeb, and it was just a 40-day journey. So just on that meal, he was able to go for 40 days. So we can do a 40-day fast if we need to. That's impossible. Jesus didn't know. There were other people in the Bible that had done it. You can do it, regardless of what science tells you. I haven't done it yet. I'm still on day one. It's a continuous thing. I've done a lot of day ones, just sporadically. Matthew talks about how Satan came at the end of the 40-day fast, and Jesus was tempted only a few times. But in Luke, it talks about Jesus was tempted for 40 days. Both accounts are accurate, but they only just give three times when Jesus was tempted. Just those three. In Luke 4:3, it says this, and the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. And this temptation shows that the human nature of Jesus, being fully God, fully man, at times he became hungry. Just because somebody may be tempted to do something doesn't mean you should accommodate them. Just because somebody is trying to tempt you in doing something, you don't have to put up with it. Come against it. You don't have to tolerate it. You don't have to tolerate it. Jesus would have had a legitimate excuse to turn the stone into bread, being hungry and all, but chose not to because his obedience is to the Father, not to do his will, not Satan's and anyone else's. So even in Matthew 12:38, it says where the Pharisees had demanded a sign from Jesus, and Jesus told them that an evil and perverse generation asks for a sign, but no sign will be given except for the prophet Jonah. Where Jonah had spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth, in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man spend 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth. See, Pharisees was demanding a sign, but Jesus is obedient to God, not to people. There's a difference. The Lord could be having you do something and say something and go somewhere, but other people may be trying to stop you from doing it. You have to stay obedient to him. Luke 4:4 says this, but Jesus answered him saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Jesus answered with what was already written. He went back to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. That's it. That's it. Deuteronomy. Just one scripture is all that Jesus needed to answer Satan. And for him to move on to his next temptation. One. So that's why you take aim with your scripture. Whatever you're being tempted with, get the right scripture. Take aim with it. Because that's all you need is one. But if you need another, get another. And if you need another, get another. Take aim with it. Luke 4:5 says, then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Satan wasn't just showing Jesus the world, but the kingdoms of this world that he was over. And we know that he got those kingdoms from the fall of man. He was the God of this world. He was the ruler of this world. There are several scriptures that talks about Jesus saying that Satan is the God of this world. But notice, Jesus did not compromise in order to get to the top. He did not sell out, not one bit. He countered with the word. Jesus was a man on a mission, and any shortcuts to the top would have been devastating for us, because that means he would have sinned. He wouldn't be that perfect sacrificial lamb that we needed. And here's the thing. Just because you are tempted doesn't mean you're living in sin or you've sinned. It just means you're being tempted. You can overcome that temptation. Jesus was tempted for 40 days and never sinned. Next verse, verse 8, says this, and Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. See, we all need to be mindful that our Heavenly Father is the only one that we worship. It's not our job. It's not our families. It's not our spouses, our hobbies, or the riches. There's some times when I try to get Kristen to call me master, like, you know how Sarah had done with. Yeah, right. I'm lucky she doesn't call me something else. But we don't worship. We only worship our one true God. Your Heavenly Father is the only one who's worthy of your worship. No other person should come close to that. And if they are, you might want to reevaluate who you are in Christ. See, our identity is in Jesus. It's not in what we do. It's not in our family. It's not in the color of our skin. It's not in our nationality. It's not even our own family's name. It's our identity is in Jesus. That's how God sees you. You're his child. You're his son. You're his daughter. Your identity is in him. He calls you by name. So you might be thinking, man, I owe this person my life. They kind of cover up some of the stuff that I do behind the scenes. I say, listen, the blood, they can only cover it up. But you know, God sees it. But here's the thing. Jesus has washed away your sin. His blood runs deeper than our own family blood line. And he's the only one that died for your sin. He's the only one that truly knows you. And he did that so that you will be able to stand before God without any shame, guilt, or condemnation. So that's even deeper than any kind of fraternity or brotherhood or sisterhood that you may have. That blood runs deep. The household of faith is deeper. You know, matter of fact, the Bible says that there is no greater love than this, than someone that laid down their life for you. And Jesus laid down his life for all of us. There's no deeper connection. Luke 4:9, it says, then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over to keep you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. These three temptations were recorded took place in the wilderness, on the mountain, and in Jerusalem. See, Satan was putting Jesus in a lose-lose situation. But yet, Jesus still came out the winner. Why? The word of God. The enemy will always try to put you in lose-lose situations. Lose situations. The only way to overcome that is through the word. Here's another temptation from Satan. He says to throw yourself down and he shall give his angels charge over you. This is spoken about in Proverbs 91:12. Whenever there's a spiritual attack on you, here's the thing. When you go through a spiritual attack, the enemy don't want you reading the word because it'll help overcome you. He don't want you praying. He don't want you being around the household of faith. He doesn't want you coming to church. He doesn't want you doing those things. He wants you in isolation so they can just constantly work on your mind. Satan can use technology, but you know what? So can God. So even if you don't feel like reading the word, you can get on your phone and still listen to it. That'll help you jumpstart to the place to where you get into the word and start reading. You can listen to that preacher that's teaching on faith or what have you, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by, come on. That'll help you jumpstart into that. So it's just like the enemy can use stuff, God's going to use something too, but he's going to use his word. You just got to be able to come against it. And it says, and Jesus answered in verse 12, it says, and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Another version says, you shall not test the Lord your God. Now remember Malachi, God is over here saying, you know, test me in this and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven when it comes to giving. We're not supposed to test God, but yet over here in Malachi, God says, test him. But here's the thing. Through every temptation that was presented to Jesus, it was the word of God, the confession that Jesus spoke out that claimed the victory for him in this head-to-head battle with Satan. It was the word of God. If it worked for Jesus, it'll work for you. Jesus sees you just as he sees. As Jesus sees us as the Father sees him. I mean, we are created in him. Our spirit is just the same as his is. So he's not looking at your sin. He's looking at you. He's looking at himself in a mirror, basically. You're not who you are. Your sin is. That's not who you are. He's who he's called you to be. Every single time it worked, Jesus wasn't crying out to the Father about his struggles, about his pain, or how much his stomach was in knots because he hadn't eaten in 40 days, or how much he was thirsty because he hadn't had any water. You win with the word of God in your mouth and with your heart believing in him. You claim that victory every day. Every time you wake up, you have that victory. To overcome temptation is done through the obedience of the word of God. Now, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. See, Jesus was perfect, and he gives us the simple solutions to all temptations. He answered, and he spoke the word of God. Every single day you do that, you can speak God's word. But I've tried that, Pastor Tim. I know. Me too. And it didn't work. And it didn't work. And it didn't work. It didn't work. But you continue on. You know why? Because faith takes. You have to get to the place to where you take that back. You take your health back. It's yours. You take your mind back. You take your family back. Satan's trying to claim them. You better start claiming. Huh? Remember I said that everything speaks? You better speak back with the word. And deal with them. Stick your chest out a little bit. How you doing? Voices. You better speak back to them with the word of God, because it has no right. You take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Every negative thought you may have, you take it and use the word of God against it. Every time you have a negative thought and you want to act on it, use the word every single time. You take back that healing. Anybody got a handkerchief? You have one? Kleenex? Give me a Kleenex then. You got Kleenex? Come here, Janice. Can you throw it? Janice, come here. Come up here. You, JJ. Come up here, JJ. Can you grab those Kleenex? You have those, Mary? Oh, we're giving those. Okay. The Apostle Paul, we don't have any handkerchiefs, but we're going to give them. I guess you can use one now. Here you go. They brought handkerchiefs to the Apostle Paul, prayed over them, and they took it back to those people that were sick and healed. And God healed them. Well, we don't have any handkerchiefs, but you can take these. And we speak healing over them, life over it, in the name of Jesus. And you give that to Randy. You give that to him. It ain't over until God says it's over. And we're all standing in faith. Long life, the Lord said, he will satisfy him if you abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Long life. I did that man's wedding. Long life will he give him. So y'all don't back down an inch, because I won't. Okay. We call that cancer healed. We curse it in the name of Jesus, and we speak healing over his body right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for full restoration. They need a miracle, and you're not short on miracles, Lord. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You stand on his word and you don't back down. Did y'all sing that this morning? What was the first song you said? Second song? Your presence? My God made me a promise and I won't back. Yes. I know I heard it out there. So that's good. Drawing a blank. It's like, what do we sing? But what if it doesn't work? Then you speak it again. You do it again, and you do it again, and you do it again. You don't ever stop because he says it. Well, I need another option. What if those options are taken away? God is a God of miracles. Who else needs a miracle? You can ask. Lord, I need a miracle. He's not short on miracles. Time to stop putting up with stuff that you know good and well God, Jesus wouldn't do it if he was here. Think about that. He would not put up with this. In 1 John 3:8, it talks about he was manifested for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of Satan. So it isn't God. I said, and sometimes we become defenseless. We don't want to fight. We don't want to do those things because we think it's God the one. God's the one who's doing this stuff. That means you don't really want to fight. Because if God is the one doing it, how are you going to fight against God? He's not the one. We live in a fallen world. Those things happen. It's like your car may break down or something. Even though you may take it to get it serviced, I said, sometimes something may happen. You may strip a gear or two. Use the clutch. Sometimes that could be user error. But if you need a miracle in your life, God is not short on that. Because that's who he is. He's a supernatural God. He's the healer. You look good all cleaned up. You don't back down. So get tough with it, Janice. You can still do it in love, but get tough with it. Because sickness is evil. Cancer is Cancer is no problem for God. That is no problem. There's a gentleman that had pancreatic cancer. I prayed for him, and he still went on home to be with the Lord. It's an older gentleman. That was the first time I ever prayed. But he came to me one day and said, at a game, he goes, the doctor said there's still nothing that they can do. He goes, but whatever you do, keep on doing it because your vitals had jumped up 60%. He goes, I know it's because you prayed for me. He goes, and to tell you the truth, I wouldn't mind another dose. I just thought that's pretty good. Because he wasn't really a faith man or anything like that. He says, I like another dose. But one thing is for sure is that I was able to lead him to the Lord. Amen. Before it was all said and done. When you have people countering certain things and you don't know what's going on and what they're saying in their own private time, your confession becomes very important. Kick some people out. If you have to. If they're speaking negative, well, this is the end. Kick them out. We're not going to talk that. We're not going to speak that. We're not going to go there. Sometimes you just can't override a person's faith or their belief and their will. You don't know where they're at. So you have to get in line with what the Word says. Everyone. God's the healer. This is going to be a first of many, done through everyone in here. So don't you back down. God may use you to raise the dead. Wouldn't that be awesome? Brian, yeah. Now, I'm not speaking this prophetically in that sense, but beat somebody so bad on the wrestling mat, you're going to have to raise them up. He is a sleeper hold. There is no temptation that is over that can ever overtake you. Nothing. You have to show who's boss. Satan may not like you, but that's all right. But God will love you for it. Continue to love you for it. Even if you don't do it, he'll still continue to love you for it. But you don't back down. You don't back down. Last time I spoke to you, you had something happen to you.
I forgot my hearing aids.
The last time I spoke to you, you had something happen to you. Right? Is that why you went into the hospital?
I told you a joke the last time.
No.
We spoke. Other than that,
nothing. Okay. She did go. I said, but here's the thing. That's all right. Keep your faith strong in the Lord.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Healthy heart, healthy organs, healthy, health.
Oh, yes.
Health.
Yes.
Health. I mumble sometimes too. You still have voices? Come here. Come up here. Have you given your life to Jesus?
Yes.
Yeah, you're born again? Okay. Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Yeah. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we command those voices right now to stop in the name of Jesus. Look at me. We command you to stop right now in the name of Jesus. Say, Jesus is the Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Over my heart.
Over my heart.
Over my mind.
Over my mind.
Over my body.
Over my body.
Lift your hands up. if you would. You know what that means? You're under arrest. That's a sign of surrender to Jesus. Now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. From the top of his head to the soles of his feet, we speak healing right now. Lord, we know that we can't stop every negative thought, but we can bring them captive to you. Lord, we thank you for filling them with your precious Holy Spirit right now in the name of Jesus. You are Lord over this man's life. We thank you for the purpose that you have for him, the promises that you have spoken to him in those quiet times, Lord. We thank you for it. Hallelujah. Receive it, receive it, receive it, receive it. Don't hold it. I said, don't fight back. Just hold it. Just let it go. In the name of Jesus. Thank you. Mr. Wright, can you come up here? Probably one of the most tender-hearted men that I've ever been around. And he's got a lot of good stories when you're going on Meals and Wheels. That's the one thing. First of all, I'd just like to thank the man for filling those spots, because normally I would have to go on some of those. Vicky would get me if y'all don't do it. But when I do, Richard always wants to come. And I just want to pray over you, sir. Is that okay?
Yes.
Yes, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for Richard. We thank you, Lord. You're not done. You're not done with him. We thank you for the purpose that you have for him, Lord. We thank you for a clear and sound mind. For the memory of the righteous is blessed in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for that. We thank you for strength and stability in his life. We thank you, Lord, for a deeper love for you and your word. Hallelujah. Continue to bless him in everything he does in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Love you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I drove a 55 Buick with my left foot only.
Wow.
For over a year, because this leg was in a cast.
Really?
I had it up on the seat.
That's impressive. Did you run any stop signs?
I might have. I didn't care.
That's awesome. You're a good man.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Charles, are you heading back home this week?
Thursday.
Can we bless that family? Can we? Charles, can you come up here? We're going to embarrass you again. No. I said his sister had passed away. And
that's why we're leaving so late.
Does she have any children?
Yeah. What was it? Three. Two boys and a girl. Yeah.
We want to bless you with this gift, but give it to her kids.
Yeah.
Okay? That's what we'll be sewing into, if you give that to her. So, come on up and sew into him and his family, if you would. If you got extra cash on you. Missed handshake there. And you let them know this is from the best church in the city, in the state.
Oh, yeah. Definitely will. Most definitely. Because that's what we turn on when we're down there, like Thanksgiving, we turn on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
That's good. Yeah. Well, let's pray over you. Father God, we just thank you for Charles and his McCoy family, Lord. And we just know that you're with him in this time, Lord. And we just believe for safe travels for all of them. In the name of Jesus, Lord, and that you are just continually watching over their lives in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you, guys. We love you. Those kids may not know who it's coming from, but so I really appreciate you guys.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Well, let's stand. We'll end on that note. Anyone else needing prayer or healing? If you're needing prayer, Tom, do you have? If you're needing prayer, just show of hands. You don't have to say what you need prayer for. If you need prayer, you can stay here and connect with somebody and get prayed for. And they can pray for you. If I missed it, if the Lord missed it, if you need it, connect with somebody. Say, hey, will you pray for me? Will you help me? There's nothing wrong with asking for help. Amen. Tyler, right?
Yes, sir.
God used you to be a blessing today. As you were blessed. Amen. That's good.
Yeah.
Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for everyone here. Lord, we thank you for the lives, for the direction that you're leading them. Lord, help us to continue to do your will, not to get distracted, but to keep the focus on you. And Holy Spirit, continue to be clutch in our lives. We don't want to do life without you. Lead us and guide us into all truth. And we just give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.